Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Robbie Raz here from Cigar Federation. We've been hanging out in California where it's, I think the high was about 70 degrees today.
Jerk.
It's kind of scary because we could use a little rain. Nobody cares, but I was watching the news last night, which I never ever do, and we're like, my area, we need like 8.5 inches of rain just to get back to normal. That's bad.
It's like anyway. Every day in Texas, dude.
Yeah, I get nothing. We got Logan. You're still down in the supply closet.
I gotta show everyone my shirt. Da
oh, yeah,
da
you do.
Da da, America.
Yeah, just a,
yeah.
that was Logan's.
Rob actually got me a Christmas gift. Can
that
you
was
believe
Logan's
it?
Christmas gift. I saw it and I knew I had to get it for him.
And he even got it in the right size, Drew Estate.
Yeah,
he
American
right size.
American Chubby was
American
the size
Chubby.
So that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
What is that shirt? What is that?
It says Victor. America, coming again to save the mother effing day. America, can't cuss on the show. Sorry.
Anyway, no, that's fun. We're going to have some fun with that shirt. Just make
I'm
sure
wearing
you wash
every,
it.
I'm wearing it every week, Rob, just, in commemorance of you.
Just wash it in between. That's all I
I'll
ask.
I'll think about it.
All right. Hey, we've got Victor Vitale joining us today. Victor, thanks for taking the time, buddy.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Victor, so we're going to jump right in. We got a bunch of audience questions. We're going to go kind of through our first segment here, which we like to call the getting to know you segment, or something witty title that we haven't come up with yet. But give everybody a little bit of background for yourself. You've been in the business for a while, and you've just recently started producing your own cigars. So give everybody a little bit of background on you.
All right, so the simplest, fastest way to do it is by timeline. I'm actually, before I got into cigars, I was working for my grandfather. I'm a fourth-generation Italian bread baker. And to kind of quickly get through that, I kind of got tired of the trade, and I wanted to try something different. And back in the 90s was the cigar boom, if you guys remember. I certainly remember. It was a fantastic time to be a cigar smoker. And at the time, I had quit my family heritage to pursue college, and I got a part-time job at a cigar shop, and I was the stock boy. I swept the floors, I refilled boxes, I took boxes in from the alleyway, and it was a really awesome time to be in the business because people would just fight for a box of cigars. It was incredible, and it was a great place because I had come from a very hot, un-air-conditioned, no heat in the wintertime type of business. And I jumped into wearing a suit and tie every day and, dealing with, people of all walks of life, would come into the shop. Hollywood movie stars, politicians, lawyers, doctors, judges, everyone. So I fell in love with the business. And about a year after that, I had met someone who's very big in the business. So you guys know Carlito Fuente. I had met him in 1996. And I thought to myself, wow, what a cool guy. What a great story. What great family history. He had a pure passion for making cigars. And at that moment, I realized that someday I wanted to make a premium cigar myself. So I stepped a little further into the business. I worked for a few different companies. I started a sales and marketing consulting business. I consulted for some of the companies who were boutique at the time that have since launched into very, very large companies making brands for themselves and for other people. And in late 2005, I started developing my first brand. I launched it in 2006. It was an absolute failure. I launched another brand after that. It was an absolute failure. And, I talked to a lot of people in the business at the time, and they said, hey, maybe three times the charm. So I went again, and I tried three times the charm, and that was a flop too. So, I had to really take an inventory of what was I doing wrong. And, I talked to someone who was very good in business. He was actually a business consultant, much older guy, wrote a couple of books. Consulted for some serious Wall Street people, and he said, look, it's real simple. He said, show me show me a man who never failed, and I'll show you someone who's never tried. And, you know, that was the encouraging words that gave me the fuel to, you know, go a little bit further. And since then, I've been able to produce some pretty decent brands. And last year, in May, I sold my company, which was a distribution company that also produced brands. And this year, I'm focused on my legacy brands production company, which is responsible for two brands, Tortuga and the Oravivo.
So, two questions. One, were you or your family affiliated in the mob somehow?
Logan, I think that's a slightly racist question.
He's freaking Italian. It's not my fault.
No comment.
Okay. Question three, or question two. Since you have failed four times building your cigar company, can we call you the little engine that could?
Whatever you want, man.
Cool. You're the little engine that could.
Let
from
me tell
now
you,
on.
I'm glad that no one remembers those brands because they were a complete embarrassment. But you know what? I mean, everybody has a dream and you try, right?
Exactly.
We've got one person in the chat room wants to know, when you were talking about all the people who came into the shop, you know, movie stars and this kind of thing, what shop were you working in?
At the time, I was working for Holtz in downtown Philadelphia on Walnut Street.
Mm-hmm. So would you go to Villanova or Penn?
No, I actually went to Community College of Philadelphia, and I abandoned ship to work full-time in the cigar business after one semester.
There you go.
Hey. I'm so, like, well, this is, like, I want to learn more, but I know we're going to just, like, derail. So, like, how did the conversation go with your father, like, or your family to say, hey, Pops, fourth generation bread baker over here, I'm out? How did that go?
That's a great question. My grandfather was an immigrant. He took his father's recipe here. My grandfather came here during World War II, you know, when a lot of children of countries that were about to be taken over by the Nazis came to America, you know, to just get away. And my grandfather had a zero education. He couldn't read or write. And what he did know is how to make bread, you know, from a very young boy. And he started a bakery actually very late in his life. He started in his 40s, and he made a very successful bakery. So anyway, the conversation went very simple. I said, Pop, I was pushing dough into a 450-degree oven at the time, and I was about 7.5 hours into my 10-hour shift. And I said, Pop, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And he says, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to try college, I said. And he said, okay, I'll see you in 6 months.
That's
so
funny.
let's say he was right, but there were also words of encouragement because I didn't make it in college. You know, college just wasn't for me. You know, I'm more of a doer. I'm more of a trial by error type of person. I'm more of a face-to-face type person. So if the cigar industry wasn't there for me to fall in love with, I don't know where I would be. I would probably be back as a baker.
I actually have have kind of a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. And this is Mike Perry wants to know if you still play the clarinet.
I don't. You know, unfortunately, because I hear the Boston Pops are hiring.
I just thought that was a funny question. I don't know if you know Mike. I don't know Mike, but
yeah, I know Mike, of course.
I just think that's a funny question. Do you still play the clarinet?
Mike's a good friend. He's from Saratoga Springs, New York. Have you guys ever been there?
Negative.
Can't say that I have.
Great place to go. I mean, especially in August, there's something there called Travers Week. If you're a fan of horse racing, great place. I've known Mike since 1999. He's a very good friend of mine and a super avid cigar smoker. He's the Hearth Dog.
It sounds like a good guy. I like Mike already.
Great guy. Yeah.
Logan, do you have any more derailment questions?
No, man, my wit's done for at least until the next segment.
We can keep derailing. I've got no problem with that.
No, man. I mean, I'm just here to learn, Rob.
I like your the underscore in your header there today, that you are greater than I am. I appreciate that.
I know. I had to actually make sure I put the arrow the right way.
Yeah,
because I was really afraid I would screw that up and then I'd never live that down. But
I can almost guarantee that you've changed it at least once.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, you went with the less than symbol. You did it right.
I know.
You did it right. So, Victor, let's get back to okay, so this is your fifth iteration cigar? Fourth? Fifth? The Tortuga? 215?
Tortuga, I originally launched the Tortuga brand as a super boutique in 2008. And the Reserva that you're smoking now, I launched at this past year IPCPR.
Okay.
So that's as new as 2013 July.
It's good. This is the first that I've smoked. No, this is very good. It's got a nice, very creamy. For me.
This is the project where I had more influence over tobacco than any other cigar that I've made. So now, as I advance more and more into my almost 20-year career in the business, I'd like to get further and further and learn every step of the way. And, you know, I'm a work in progress. It's constant education. And this is the cigar that I had the most influence over, choosing the tobacco and blending more so heavier on my side, closer to my palate than anything else. Whereas in the past, when I was making cigars, I was making cigars more for a category of the market opposed to what I personally like. So with the sale of my company in May, I have now the ability to really sit back and focus more on my passion, which is creating cigars and creating very special things on a limited production base based on the raw materials that I can get and use, opposed to more of a mass distribution scale.
Okay. So are these the 215 and the Reserva, are they limited production?
The Reserva, it's more I had a limited production Tortuga. That was the Edición Limitada 2011.
Okay.
That is completely sold out of stock. If there are any left in the marketplace, that's the last of them. You won't ever see them again. The Reserva is basically I get a very short supply of the tobacco that I've chosen for this particular blend. So currently I have the ability to make only so many every year.
Sure.
And the way the program works is it's an appointed merchant program. So right now, thank goodness, I'm in a very good place where I have a waiting list for retailers to become appointed merchants. And the whole reason for that is I can't supply everyone yet. It's really a slow build-up to getting more raw materials and then maybe creating a secondary brand under the Tortuga Reserva, a different type style, in order to satisfy more and more retailers as we go along. But basically my mission is I'm only going to appoint so many retailers as long as I can supply them, because if retailer number 10 can't be supplied because I opened retailer number 250.
Yeah.
That's not really the model for me.
You can take care of your guys first.
Yes.
Oh, I say screw them. I'm just kidding.
Shotgun Logan.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, Logan, little engine that could. Victor. Oh.
You're up.
Am I up? I actually get to do a read?
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Cigar Chat on CigarFederation.com. Broadcasted around the world on AFRN and on the interwebs. This segment is brought to you by Ammodores. If you don't know about Ammodores, go check them out. It's AMMODORS.com. Have a very neat and unique product. They actually use old ammo cans from World War II, 50 cal, 30 cal sizes, and actually line those with Spanish cedar and turn them into humidors. It's actually a very cool product. Rob has one and I don't, which I don't know why, but that's neither here or there. Go check them out at AMMODORS.com. Check them out. Cool product. Back to you, Rob.
It's very professional. I appreciate that.
Awesome.
I actually do have one of the Amadors. and it's pretty sizable. You can fit a ton of cigars in these things. I brought one on a recent camping trip that I had, and I beat the hell out of it. I'll be honest. I stood on it. I sat on it. It fell out of the truck. It gets dinged up, but it's an ammo case. It's supposed to be like that. So,
dude, it's America.
Yeah, and it's a good product. Anyway, we'll move on. So Victor, let's talk about this. So the Reserva, tell me a little bit. These are the blends that you've had the most impact on. Tell me a little bit about the blend itself.
Well, the blend is all Nicaraguan, and it's using tobacco from – are you guys familiar with Angernorsa and the Olivas in Tampa, the tobacco that they supply for some of the greatest cigars in the world, in my opinion? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm very fortunate to have the ability through my factory in Honduras to purchase tobacco from these folks. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity and very happy with the end result, which has been fantastically received. I mean, this year, always exhibiting at the trade show is the anticipation will kill you because you really never know what to expect.
Yeah.
And this year surpassed my expectations beyond what I could dream of. I mean, it's just been fantastic. The people that lit the cigar, the people that smoked the cigar were just immediately impressed, and the support was just overwhelming. So you know, going through the whole process from start to finish took quite some time to really nail it and get it right. And really, for this is probably the second time that I've blended something specifically for my palate. That's the most rewarding thing that I've ever done.
Yeah, I can imagine. To take something that's it's personal. I mean, really, when you start blending stuff based on what you enjoy and to see other people react to it in a positive light, I mean, that's got to be fulfilling.
It's very fulfilling, and it all it also could be very worrying too, because you know some insecurities come out. You know, you're like, geez, I hope everybody likes this. You know, I really worked hard. You know, it's like you know unveiling your painting that you've been working on. It's and it's you know some people could see it as a stick figure, or some people can see it as you know a Da Vinci. You know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I almost hate to bring this up because the last time we talked about cigar bands was with your buddy Ernesto.
Oh, God, the, dear, don't.
And he went on for half an hour.
About 30 minutes, bands. At least.
But the band on this thing is great. And I don't know how well it's going to translate in my funky lighting here. But it's really ornate band. It's got the double band. The second one fits kind of right into the bottom there. Great colors, red and gold. My 49ers, go Niners. I mean, this is really nice artwork on these bands. Great band work.
Thank you.
So we can move on from that. I just wanted to make a comment, but it is. Well, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the cliff notes on the 30-minute on the band. The band, in my opinion, I'll give you my opinion since you know I'm sure. Well, I would like to think that someone gives a shit. Oops, excuse me.
Oh,
jeez.
I'll fix it.
Tortuga.
I'm sorry. So. You know, it's really a part of the history of cigars. The band is a big part of cigar history, and it really speaks for the brand on the retailer shelf. And the artwork, I think, is very important when it comes to presenting your cigar. So, you know, there's a lot of history on bands. There's actually cigar band and cigar box museums around the world. And, you know, I think it's really important. It's actually one band. As far as I know, it's first of its kind, and no one's ever fused
right.
a band
attached.
Together like that. Yeah, it's attached with the little V coin there.
Huh? I thought it was two separate pieces.
V
but you're right.
Victor coin.
Interesting.
I like it.
Okay, so let me let's. I want to move. I want to jump into some of these questions here because we've got a ton of them. We talked about the blend. Did we finish talking about the blend, or did Logan cut you off?
I think it's you know it's good. If anyone has any more questions about the blend, let them ask.
I know it's a Nicaraguan puro, but that was about as far as we got.
Don't try to sound Spanish, Rob. Don't try to sound
Nicaraguan
Spanish.
Puro. That's what I said. Step off, dude.
You said puro and tried to roll your R like a freaking cat.
I can roll my R's.
No, you can't. Do it. That sounded horribly sexual.
I'm telling you, you asked me to do it.
I'm freaked out. Go ahead.
Okay, let's see. I was like, okay, so the obvious question, 215, what's the significance there?
215 is a significance of the area code that I grew up in. It's something that was originally on the Edición Limitada 2011, and the traction of people recognizing it alongside with the brand name Tortuga was very heavy, so you know I continued to use it after that.
Why the name Tortuga?
Well,
it's in Pirates of the Caribbean.
It is actually very good.
You're welcome.
You have children, I hope. Otherwise,
just me.
Oh. Otherwise,
and my labradoodle and my wife, but I'm the only child. I'll shut up, man.
You know, creating names in the cigar business is very difficult because almost every good name is taken out there. So I actually was very fortunate to be able to come across this name. I wanted a name to speak very loudly for the concept that was behind the cigar. And the concept that's behind the cigar is very limited raw materials, very slow when it comes to aging and fermentation, only ready when it's ready, very slow distribution. So what goes along with the slow movement, slow placement, slow distribution of a brand, Turtle? I was very fortunate to have Tortuga, and you know, hopefully it has some positive connotations with it as well.
Cool, very cool. I was just down in Mexico, and I did some swimming with some tortugas. Watched them eat grass. Wasn't very entertaining, actually.
Were they big ones? Or?
Yeah, the big mamas, that kind of the ocean turtles. The ones that when they lay the eggs, the little guys run down to the ocean, you know?
Yeah, they get eaten by birds.
Yeah, they're protected, I think. I actually saw those in Hawaii when I was there last year.
Yeah, they were very specific about what we could do while near the turtles. You can't go towards them. You got to stay like 10 feet away. If they come to you, that's one thing. But yeah. One started swimming towards me. I didn't really like it, so I moved out of the way. But yeah, they just eat grass, and they don't really care what you're doing. So to go back to this is a question from Donald. To go back to, you were mentioning, you know, with the 215 and the Reserva, you've had the most influence on these blends. In that process, how many different iterations, you know, ballpark, do you feel like you went through before you actually got to the point of, this is where I want to be?
That's a great question because, you know, when I'm at the factory, I probably smoke 40 plus cigars a day. You know, I know that sounds like a lot, but it really... When I'm trying out different blends using the tobacco that's chosen, along with some other tobacco to be put in to make some variation, it's all about smoking the first inch of the cigar. So it's a very long, process, you know, to really try and keep your palate clean and really, you know, try to understand what you're looking for and to get the masters that you're working with to understand what you're looking for, because our palate here is very different than the palate there. You know, everything's different. You know, everything has to go with, you know, what you're eating, what you're doing on a daily basis, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it took about 9 months to really complete this cigar. I would just say hundreds of different blends were tried before this one was nailed.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of a common theme. When you said keeping your palate fresh and you're smoking that many different cigars per day, and I understand you're not going all the way through. How do you do that? What's your process for keeping your palate clean?
The best way to do it is salt water.
Really?
Honestly. Yeah, not a lot of people talk about this. You know, people will talk about coffee. They'll talk about just plain water. They'll talk about crackers. You know, when you do a wine tasting, there's always crackers laid out for you and everything else. But, you know, the palate and the tongue and the mouth is it's very alkaline. And, you know, throughout the day we introduce all these acidic things to it. Sugar is the worst thing you can do to your mouth when you're smoking a cigar. I was actually having this conversation at one of my appointed merchants about guys eating a donut and then smoking a cigar and then saying that they don't like the cigar. Now, whatever brand it is that they're smoking, you know, it always just drives me crazy because it's like, well, you can't eat a donut and smoke a cigar. This doesn't work.
Sweet tea?
If you can limit the amount of sugar, you're going to get more fuller flavor, more taste in your mouth. I mean, you know, the different points in the mouth from everything that I've studied and tried to experience firsthand is you have sweet on the tip, you have salt on the two rails here, you have sour and then bitter in the back, and then the whole experience is the umami experience where you get everything all combined into one. And then if you're not really pushing the, you know, everyone calls it retrohaling, if you're not retrohaling the smoke through your nose, you're really missing out on the soft palate. And, you know, in my opinion, you could be missing about 40% of the taste. So if you wanted to taste a cigar with your best palate, you want to do it in the morning. You know, just wake up, brush your teeth with a dry, clean toothbrush, rinse out with some salt water, follow it up with some regular water, and just smoke a cigar. And then the other thing that I do, when I narrow down, when I'm in the blending process and I narrow down to a dozen or so blends, I do something very differently that I've never heard anyone else do. I put a blindfold on, I put noise cancellation headphones on, and it's all about taste and aroma after that. Because you'd be very surprised. You'd be very, very, very surprised if you say that you like a cigar or you don't like a cigar, and then you take out all of your other senses that are interfering with that smoking experience, and you focus just on the taste and the aroma, how different your opinion's going to be.
Wow.
That's true.
It makes a ton of sense, but I've never, like, you're right, I've never heard anyone say that.
Try it. It's an amazing experience.
Interesting. I might have to do that.
I'm going to try that.
On that note, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're here with Victor Vitale, talking about some tortugas and blindfolds and noise canceling
headphones. Salt water.
And it's getting real. But this next segment of the show is brought to you by La Palina Cigars. We've got some La Palinas fresh in the store, store.cigarfederation.com. We just got the La Palina Goldie and the whole family series, Mr. Sam in there as well. So great cigars. So you can go check those out. It's at store.cigarfederation.com. Victor's giving us the thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Great stuff.
That Mr. Sam, man, that's a really good cigar. I'm probably smoking too many of those over the last month or so, I think.
Yeah. By now.
Yeah, by now, exactly. I'll have to place my order. But anyway, so get back to some of these questions. This one's from Sam Friedrich. I hope I said your last name right, Sam. Is it Friedrich or Friedrich? I don't know.
Friedrich.
What are the challenges you face of being a boutique manufacturer? And I used quotes because he used quotes.
Okay, the challenges are that you want the right people who are boutique smokers to get the cigar and smoke it. So really, that's where the whole appointed merchant program comes into play, where, you know, the question really is, who is a boutique smoker, why are you a boutique smoker, versus why do you like mainstream cigars and why do you buy mainstream cigars? So, you know, for me, it's about getting into the right hands for the people seeking the cigar for the right reasons. So, you know, it's an interesting question. It's a challenging question because I feel like a lot of cigars find people that they shouldn't find. And, you know, I see a lot of people trying to smoke fuller-bodied cigars because of peer pressure, and, you know, really they should be smoking a mild cigar. You know, and some people may think that they like a boutique cigar because boutiques are really made up of, you know, different things. It's kind of like craft beer. You know, in the beer industry, you have nano, you have craft, you have micro, and you have macro. And in the cigar industry, we don't have the classifications for that, but it's there without, you know, it's something it's like this unspoken thing. So, you know, if you're a craft beer drinker or you're a nano beer drinker or a micro beer drinker, you're probably going to like my product and some of the other boutique cigars that are out there because of the process that's used. If you're a Coors Light drinker or a Budweiser drinker, you're probably going to like some of the, you know, the mainstream cigars out there.
Interesting. Now, I noticed that you want to get this right because this question was actually asked to you on on Twitter today. You refer to your cigars as ultra boutique.
Yes.
Why?
Another great question. And, you know, the term ultra and the term boutique are the most asked or even the most attacked words in the business because people say, okay, well, you know, why do you think you're boutique or why do you think you're ultra premium? And you know, the reason why I put ultra premium is not because I want the user or someone to think that my cigar is better than the other premium cigars out there. That's really not the use of the term. I actually, this happened about a year, maybe 2 years ago, where I walked into a retail shop and there was like this cigar for $1.25 or something like that, and it was called a premium cigar. And I thought, well, how could that be a premium cigar? I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and, you know, I pretty much know what goes into that stuff, and it's certainly not premium tobacco. So, you know, I thought, how do I separate myself from that? Because, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of new people that come into the business, and I welcome all the new people with open arms, and I really want those people to be cultivated the right way. And the only reason, or the only way for them to get cultivated the right way is to find someone that they trust to give them the right information. And, you know, sometimes seeing things like that is, you know, it could really steer someone the wrong way. You know, why should I spend $8 for this premium cigar when I could spend $1.50 for this premium cigar? So, you know, I wanted to come up with something to kind of separate it. So I chose the term ultra. It's just kind of there. It doesn't really mean anything other than, you know, I hope that, you know, the people who have been smoking cigars for a long time, you know the difference. I'm not teaching you anything. You know what you're doing. But, you know, for the newcomers, there's a lot of newcomers to the business. There's something there, and there has to be some sort of direction to them besides the phone clerk on the internet sites or the retail clerk. So it's an attempt to steer people in the right direction is really the ultimate answer.
Okay, steer them in the right direction. I like that. excuse me. So I've got a question here. This is from Fat Kid, one of our favorites.
And, Fat Kid.
Sam, it's Friedrich, so I apologize for saying your name wrong. okay, so this is actually kind of a wordy question, but I like it. It says, your cigars are limited production and considered very high-end, and they're compared to the Ashtons, the Padrones, and the high-end Fuentes, but your retail price is sub $10. What made you decide to put such a reasonable price tag on your cigars when it could easily have set for 18 plus to compete with other high-end products?
Well, thank you for the compliment.
That's a great compliment.
Thank you.
That's good company.
Yeah, it's a very good company, and thanks for putting me into that league. Really, what I try to do is I try to be modest and humble about my offerings, as modest and humble as I can possibly be. And there's a certain audience that I'd like to reach and that I'd like to reach on a daily basis. And that's really how I came up with $8 to $10 and even in some cases up to $12 on my retail number. Now, it's just not a number that's pulled out of the sky. It's a number that is basically, it starts from raw materials and the quality of labor. That's really where that number is derived from. And the integrity behind my product speaks directly from that. And it's a very modest cost to retail based on that number. So when I'm choosing the blend and I'm choosing the product, I always have in mind where I want to end up. Because, you know, we can't just end up somewhere and then, you know, just kind of meet in the middle or anything like that. You know, it has to be, you know, from start to finish, every single facet of the whole plan has to be, you know, planned out. So that's basically, I hope that answers the question. It's, you know, it's pretty much the basic of it.
No, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into the price of a premium cigar that I think the average consumer doesn't really take into consideration. I mean, there's a lot of things that I didn't. I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for them. But yeah, I mean, to find some of the cigars, some of the boutique stuff with the, you know, there's that high quality, the very hands-on approach, and to find it in that price range is pretty amazing. And I'm about two-thirds of the way through, maybe a little bit less than that. It's the first time I've smoked it. I know Logan, I don't know if Logan smoked it, but he's been sick, so we won't really ask too much of his opinions.
It was garbage.
is that mental or physical illness? What's going on?
A little bit of both. And spiritual and emotional now because of your mean comment.
That was the best question of the night.
That was pretty good. It's good.
Best question of the year so far.
It's pretty good. I mean, well, it's the first episode, so don't give him too many compliments.
Bad joke, but no, I'm really enjoying the cigar. It's got a nice creamy texture. There's this subtle little anise note on the end that kind of sits on the tip of my tongue that I really, really like. It's a little bit different, and maybe I'm putting too much onto it. It's not a very strong flavor, but it's very clean. It's a clean flavor. Logan, you have a mute button. There's a clean, real clean flavor there that I am enjoying. This is a really good cigar.
Well, you know, balance is really the key. Complexity and balance are kind of like contradiction. But the thing is, you can only get a cigar so strong before you create an off balance situation. So really, the whole goal in mind is to achieve a certain strength, but then balance it out. And that's what you're going to get from my product. You're never going to get something that blows your head off. That's just not what I do. I'm not trying to achieve strength. And, you know, one of the biggest misconceptions in this business is that strength is confused for taste. And
true.
I say it all the time, constantly. I mean, you can't. This is why I encourage people to really just, you know, plug your eyes, plug your ears, and just, you know, focus on taste and aroma. And if you're not retrohaling the cigar, you're not really getting the strength that you're looking for, because, you know, really the strength, I always say strength is through the nose, taste is in the mouth, and that's really what you're going to get when you smoke a cigar the right way. So if you haven't, try it. Try to blow the smoke through your nose. Please try it.
No, I retrohale on pretty much every puff, not the whole thing, probably 40%. We were teaching Logan how to retrohale at IPCPR. It was actually kind of funny.
I'm a freaking master now.
He turned green a few times. On that note, because you touched on this a little bit, and this is a question you're up then. Go ahead.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. This is Logan on Cigar Federation, on Cigar Chat, broadcast worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network and many other places on the interwebs, potentially the biggest cigar show in the world. That's not my words. That's somebody else's. This segment's brought to you by the most amazing Cigar of the Month Club ever. I want to thank all the people who have supported us for the first month. We're getting ready to announce what will be in the second package for Cigar of the Month for January, probably in the next 2 days.
You want to tease it? You want to tease a little bit? Tell them one cigar that's going to be in there.
Should I tell them one?
Just tell them one.
Which one?
I don't know. You pick. I'm putting you on the spot. We didn't talk about this beforehand.
Or there may not be a Goldie in there.
There you go. That's a good start. I can either confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that there might be a Goldie in there, but that's it. So by now, you'll know in probably 2 days. We'll post a picture up because it's 100% transparent. And back to you, Rob, Johnny.
Thanks, Logan, for your for that break. So we were talking about Victor. Sorry to cut you off. We were talking about different ways to smoke the cigar, retrohaling, and things like that. Miguel has a question for you. He says, "What would your advice be to someone who is new to cigars? Just kind of a general piece of advice."
Explore as much as you can and smoke as many cigars as you can. Find a local retailer that you can build a trust with that understands your palate and knows what direction that you want to go into. My whole motto, and I preach this every day, if you're smoking the same brand over and over again, you're really missing out. There's no monogamy in cigar smoking. You really want to smoke and enjoy as much as you can. And, you know, people say to me all the time, oh, you know, I'm going to smoke your brand all the time. And I said, geez, I really hope you don't do that. And, you know, I'm probably one of the only people that own a cigar brand that said, please don't smoke my cigars all the time, because you're going to miss out on, you know, what's out there and what's new. You know, when I go into a wine shop, I always ask for something different, you know. And the best thing to do is to find what region of the world you like and enjoy, and then keep trying cigars from that region. And, you know, I'll give you an off-cigar example is if you like Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, just go into your shop and say, hey, I like Napa Valley Cabernet, you know, offer me a brand that I haven't tried yet. And that's really the direction that you should go in. Start out mild, don't blow up your palate, and just progressively try different brands and, you know, walk up the strength scale, don't run.
Walk up the strength scale, don't run. I like that. That's good. You dropped a couple of gems in there. Cigar smoking is there's no monogamy in cigar smoking. Can I steal that?
You could just put a credit down on the bottom.
Yeah, somewhere. I will. I'll credit you on that. I like that quote. That's good. That sounds like a T-shirt.
America. So
I've got a question here from Luke. And it's an interesting question, and I'm not sure how you're going to answer this, but I'm curious. But it's a little bit long, so bear with me. It says, how much variety do you taste in your line of cigars? for example, like from year to year is what he's asking. So, for example, would you be able to tell the difference between each year of the 215, or does the profile remain pretty similar? He says, I would imagine some variability, good word, just from the different crops of tobacco. But is it a noticeable difference, or is it something that you would pick up on?
Well, yes, because so many different things affect tobacco. And it's everything from beneath the soil to above the soil to wind, rain, sunlight, cloud coverage, handling. It's one of the most unique products in the world. And quite frankly, in my opinion, it doesn't get the respect that it deserves. And you have to really be there to see it. If you see how much is involved from water table can really ruin a crop of tobacco. Too much rain increases the water table in the soil. Not enough nutrients in the soil don't produce the right plant. Not enough sunlight. Mishandling, transportation errors, mislabeling. So many different things can happen. So what I like to say as a general rule is that a cigar is going to change at least 5% year to year, at least. And that all depends on the manufacturer's supply of tobacco from year to year. Now, some manufacturers have a very large supply of tobacco, and they only make X amount of cigars per year, and they're able to sustain a blend based on a very large amount of tobacco that they have purchased or have grown themselves and have put away for, you know, a long period of time. Some other folks don't have that model, so they trust to buy from their growers similar tobacco every year. And I'm using the word similar for a reason, because there's no such thing as the same tobacco every year.
It's true. No, that's a good question. I really like the way that you answered it. Logan, I've been kind of hogging
up all these... Is that Luke Sundquist?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
He's going to be in Austin this weekend.
Is he? Hello?
Yeah, we're going to hang out.
Oh,
I'm
going
to teach Harvard how to do it.
All right, well, he might be one of our winners tonight. We have, by the way, guys, you all know that we've got some giveaways. What's this?
Did you say Harvard? Someone's from Harvard?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Luke Sundquist, the guy who just asked that very complicated question.
All right, go Harvard.
It all makes sense now, then. Logan, do you have any audience questions? I'm kind of plowing through mine. I've only got a few left, so we can take some of yours if you've got them.
Yeah, mostly people are just making fun of me like usual.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get people to buy Cigar of the Month Club.
Okay, there you go. So Logan's working.
I'm selling stuff, keeping the lights on.
Okay, so a question for you here. This one's from Tyler. He says, what does it take for a boutique cigar to break through and become a nationally recognized brand? He says, is there some sort of method to the madness?
Yes, one word, patience.
Good answer.
Patience. I'll elaborate because, you know, he went through the trouble of asking the question. It really all depends on what you want out of that brand. Now, you know, it all depends on what you mean by nationally recognized, because, you know, there are companies that come out and want to take over the world right away and, you know, want to sell however many millions of cigars. The truth is our industry is we import into the United States less than 300 million cigars. 300 million. Less than that. That is like a micro blip on any consumption scale in any other industry. It's like selling fine art. And, you know, if you look at, for example, domestic cigars, Phillies, Dutch Masters, things like that, that's over 9 billion with a B. So
in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
No.
Yes, that's consumed. 9 billion.
Are those machine-made nasty sticks a year?
Hey, one of your audience might be smoking backwards. You never know. Maybe they're trying to convert.
Not on my site, bro. Not on my site. No.
So, you know, 300 million cigars is very little. So, really, the best way is to, you know, if you're thinking about creating a cigar or getting out there and working for a company, you really have to find what matches, you know, your personal taste and ability. I mean, really, this industry is about personalization.
Yeah, that's those numbers are. I never really looked at the numbers, but that's eye opening. It's only 300 million.
That's
it. Wow. Think about it. 1%. 1% is 3 million.
And that's about what Logan is. That's what he's consuming.
Pretty so close,
he's,
Rob.
He's 1%. We always call Logan the 1%, and now we can really mean it.
Hey, it's not my fault. I have the disposable income to buy him. It's not my fault. Don't hate on me, Rob.
Let's see. I've got another question from Tyler here. It says, you've been in the industry long enough to see the rise and the fall of the cigar boom era and the resurgence that we're having now. Do you feel that we're headed toward another collapse or another rise, or this current rise is here to stay? So we want you to see the future.
It's a great question. I don't have a crystal ball, but I studied statistics in this business on a daily basis. I've taught myself to be an Excel spreadsheet type of guy, and really knowing the industry trends are very important. And, let me tell you, the 90s were an incredible time to be in this business. It's an experience that if you weren't here, you missed out. You can only read about it. I mean, that's how incredible it was. When 2000 came along, we saw a little bit of a decline. It was a very scary period. We actually we saw about a 30% decline in cigar imports. Wow. And, prior to that, you could smoke anywhere you wanted. I mean, you could smoke in high-rise buildings on the elevator going up if you wanted. You know, nowadays the usage outlets are pretty much next to nothing. So what that did was anti-smoking legislation pretty much put the kibosh on the weekend user. And what we have right now is people that are smoking cigars are pretty serious about cigars. You either smoke daily or smoke weekly enough to be serious about what you do. So the only thing that's going to change in the future is the amount of consumption that people who are serious about what they do, smoke cigars, are consuming, and the amount of newcomers that come in and really appreciate the craft and the artistic quality of cigars. Because if you're just coming in to smoke a cigar just to use it, where are you going to do it besides in your car or in your garage or in your backyard? I mean, there's really, in the old days, you used to be able to buy a box of cigars and go to a restaurant or any bar you wanted and, smoke a whole box in a weekend or a night. You can't do that anymore. So I do see the business increasing on more of a on a boutique level, because mm-hmm. what I do know is that the macro brands are suffering because folks like you that have a radio program and an internet program and folks like your audience that are listening truly appreciate the artistic quality of a cigar. And that's what I was touching on a little bit earlier in the evening, was that this cigars aren't appreciated enough for what they are. They're really a true art form. And a cigar is alive. It's alive while you're smoking it. It's as long as it has humidity, the tobacco lives. And a lot of people don't know that. The plant never dies. The leaves never die. And so many different hands touch the tobacco. And as long as people continue to appreciate that, then the industry is going to grow, but in my opinion, it's never going to grow with the surges that we've seen in the 90s. It's never going to grow 100 million imports in 1 year. It may swing like 5, 10, maybe 15 million units in a year, but that'll be it.
That's a good answer. I really appreciate the way you're answering these questions. You're taking the time to actually fully answer the question. I appreciate that. And on that note, you're listening to Cigar Chat on CigarFederation.com, brought to you on worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're sitting here chatting with Victor Vitale, talking about a little bit of everything, everything cigars. This last segment is brought to you by CigarFederation.com, the premier website, cigar website, social media cigar website on the internet. If you guys haven't checked us out, you should come check us out, CigarFederation.com. We've got, special discounts in our store for all of our members. So you get a different type of deal every month. You get to make fun of Logan as much as you want.
I'm here.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. So definitely come check us out. You get shows like this where you learn something. You don't learn it from me. You don't learn it from Logan, but you learn it from guys like Victor. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in.
I have a question.
Oh, you do. And we're running out of time, too, right?
I do. I think it's a valid question, too, is that old Officer Paul slash a couple other people said they've looked on your website, Victor, a.k.a. Little Engine That Could, and they live, you know, 3, 4, 6 states over from where you have a shop that carries their cigars. How do you suggest that they go about getting in touch with a retailer? Does anyone sell online that they can reach out to purchase your cigars?
I do have a few online dealers. I'm sure if you Google it, they'll come up very easily. I mean, everybody.
Apparently, it hasn't.
It should. Just Google Tortuga 215 Reserva or Tortuga Reserva by Victor Vitale. It should come up really easily. If it doesn't, just reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to folks. Just my email is VictorVitale at VictorVitale.com or info@TortugaCigars.com. I usually answer all of my emails within 24 hours. I'm happy to talk to anybody and help you get them. The other thing that I would say is just go into your local retailer and talk to them about it and have them put in an application to become an appointed merchant. It'll be the best thing that they've ever done for their store if they like selling boutique cigars.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because you happen to talk to someone who Cigar Federation has a boutique store and that's all we sell. So how about we being your online retailer, putting you on the spot right now?
I'll send you the application.
I'll fill out application, Victor.
I love it.
I hate you. Anyways, back to Rob.
Yeah.
Logan. The answer is yes, of course.
Yeah. So we'll. One thing that we talk about at Cigar Federation, we're not our deal with our store. We're not trying to compete with anybody's local B&M. If you can get it locally, go do it. We only want to sell stuff that we smoke and we like. And this is definitely going in the list of things that I smoke and I like. This is a good cigar. I'm getting down to the nub here, but I've really enjoyed it. We've only got a few minutes left, and we got to do these giveaways, Logan.
I know how we're going to do it.
Oh, you do? Go ahead.
Four people that email me. With your name and address to Logan at Cigar Federation, we have the first four people win.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'm glad you gave me your email and not mine. Okay, so we'll...
I don't want to pick people. I just want, you know, if they're listening, you're paying attention, because that way I can have all your emails and I can spam you. Just kidding.
No free lunch. No free lunch. So, Victor...
There's no free lunch, baby.
Victor, I appreciate you taking the time. We've covered a lot of topics. We've got about 2 minutes left. Give us some parting words of wisdom, and then when you're done with those parting words of wisdom, let everybody know, even though you just did, let everybody know again how they can get in touch with you.
Well, first, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to sign in and listen. I don't know how many folks have been communicating with you guys, and I have no idea how many people are listening, but thanks for taking the time. Thanks for taking the time to follow me on Twitter. I do want to apologize in advance. I'm terrible on social media, so if you're expecting some sort of daily activity from me, you're probably not going to get it. So there's my apology. I'm a work in progress. I'll get better at it, I promise. My wife has this long list of things for me to get better at, and I seem to only be good at making cigars, and I tell her that all the time. You know, I'm not really good at much, but I am proud of what I've done in the cigar business. So words of wisdom for the people listening, smoke cigars, appreciate them for what they are. They are true works of art. You're smart enough to know what's good and what's not. I hear a lot of people say that there are a lot of good cigars out there. Yes, there are a lot of good cigars out there. There are also a lot of bad cigars out there. And that's a whole part of the experience. You know, just get out there and experience it. You know, just like there's bad beer and bad wine and, you know, good beer and good wine. So it's all about the experience. And, you know, I was at a function over the holidays, and someone made a toast to the Dash, and the Dash is all about the experience. So just get out there and get some for yourself.
All right, we appreciate it, Victor. Thanks for taking the time, buddy. It's been fun, man. The way you've answered these questions, I really do appreciate it, and I know I've learned a little bit today. So I hope our audience has learned something as well. Just so you know, we've got 85 active listeners to the show live right now. will be on Armed Forces Radio Network next Wednesday to a listener base of around 1 million people. So hopefully they all tune in.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Guys, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us. Next week, Logan, who do we have next week? Next Thursday? You're muted. We've got Chinook Sellers next week.
Probably someone not as cool as Victor.
We talked a little bit about wine. We've got Chinook Sellers on next week. They make wine as well. They're up in Napa, so I may go hang out in his wine cave and do the show live from up there. We'll see. Again, guys, we appreciate it. You can find us at CigarFederation.com. We're always here, always on. I'm Robbie Raz. You can be at Robbie Raz on Twitter. Logan is at Logan at Dell, Corporate Monkey on Twitter. And Victor Vitale is at Victor Vitale on Twitter. So, again, Victor, thanks for taking the time. Guys, we appreciate everything. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Later, people. Take care.